Welcome to the Ancient Paths Podcast. We are your hosts, Wendy and Shani, and we are two moms a quarter of a century apart, preserving tradition for a modern generation.
Hey everyone, this week we're going to talk about start small, grow something, grow anything. Shani and I today are sitting outside, the weather is great, the wind is blowing, our papers are blowing, everything is blowing, but it's really nice out here, so we thought it would be a great backdrop. For you guys to hear a little bit about what we're growing in our garden. We'd like to know what's grown in your garden and your farm and just how everything's going. The weather's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We love this time of year.
Yeah.
So what's new this week, Shani?
Oh, what's new this week? This week has been like the first slow week we've had in about a month, I feel like. So we've really just been able to take some time with school, which has been nice.
Yeah.
And the boys have decided, well, I've decided and the boys agree that we are kind of doing a little bit different of an approach for a little while to get to come outside and enjoy the weather and not stress so much about being at a table where we're going to do two or three lessons in one subject per day.
Awesome.
So math is for Mondays. Tuesdays we work on presentations because we're out a lot. So they just have to get that one thing done. But then they're also doing their nature journal because we're going to the community center and we're outside so they can find something to put in their nature journal.
I love that.
And Wednesdays are for writing.
That's good.
Every day they're really getting writing practice, but Wednesdays like specifically for writing. And then Thursdays we're going to do our homestead science with a friend.
That sounds fabulous. I love that. I miss those days.
Yeah.
I do miss those days.
It's been fun because they like, instead of stressing about the to-do list, they're like, they know we only have one or two things to do. Mm-hmm. And then they know they can take a deep breath and we can go outside and just be.
Right.
And we started baseball yesterday.
Oh, I love that.
So fun.
What good memories. They will enjoy it. And it gets busy because
they're
doing so much.
But it does. Yeah.
They're having fun and they're running and they're learning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is their first year in coach pitch, so it's a different ball game.
It is a different
pun intended.
Faster.
Oh yeah, but they're really excited about it, and they have a really good coach. And their team, all the moms were looking at the kids last night, and it looks like for the most part, with the exception of maybe two kids, their baseball team is going to be their football team in the fall. Like they might. There's a couple that are not on their team, mm-hmm. but so that unity is just going to keep building and building, which is really exciting.
That's really good.
Yeah.
How fun.
Yeah. That's what about you?
The benefits of a small community.
Mm-hmm.
It was a crazy week last week. Had a lot of family things going on, so I wasn't able to be in the garden during the day at all last week. So Monday was...
Did you go out in night garden then?
No, I didn't. I was so exhausted that I just went, took a bath, and went on to bed. And but Monday, worked all day out there.
Yeah.
Trying to force myself to take a break. Everything that mentally and physically and spiritually, and just trying to keep the balance that we talked about in our challenges.
Yes.
trying to really hold myself accountable in that area. But back at it this week. Getting everything planted and that hasn't been planted, tending everything that was planted, making sure that the ground is harvestable and plantable and all the things. It's nice to be outside.
You
right
guys
now.
Have a box coming up soon, right?
Yeah, coming up Monday.
I
know, right? We're going to assess on Saturday.
Okay.
Just to make sure. We've already cut off orders only because... it's not as prolific as we like, and we want to keep the spring a little bit small. We just never know how it's going to produce. But what we may do is push it off a week if we have to. If we have to, we can always push it off a week.
Yeah.
We allow that extra week in between spring and summer.
Hey, if you need taste testers,
know a few. That's right. we'll just push it off one week. The spring is only going to be an 8-week subscription this time. So, you know, we're just trying to find peace in it, not worry, not stress, just whenever God decides the vegetables will grow, they'll grow.
Yeah.
And then we'll do what we can to steward them.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried. What you drinking?
Cool. Well, I made some, let's see, it's mint medley. So it's got peppermint and spearmint. And I think there's actually something else in it too. I can't remember. But it's caffeine-free, like mint tea. And we made it like iced sweet tea.
It's what I'm drinking as well.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's really
it's refreshing.
Good. Yeah, it's really.
I think like days like today when the sun is warm and shining, it really makes me excited about the summertime.
Me too.
And I always think back to when my kids were toddlers and we lived in a small neighborhood with a really honestly a tiny backyard, but it was what we needed for mm-hmm. the size of our family at the time. It was perfect. And they would spend most of the day outside naked in the backyard.
That's
and
fun.
That, like, this time of year always makes me think of that because we were so eager to get out in the sunshine. Mm-hmm. And then, like, having an iced tea drink just mm-hmm. makes me excited for popsicles and snow cones in the summer.
It's just thinking about the little tiny things that bring you delight.
Yeah.
You know, just
yeah.
seeing, thank you, God, for this little tiny blessing that we have right yeah. now. You know?
It's well, good. And it's building, I don't know if this is something in my generation or if they said it before, but, like, building those core memories.
Yeah, core like, memories. That's right.
Like, the big things that... The big things that the kids remember are actually the little things.
It is.
And making sure that we are giving ourselves enough time for all of the little things.
Right.
And I was just talking to somebody today. You're probably going to hear a helicopter because we are right in the flight path for the military base that is close by.
Right.
That's and they're yeah. training helicopters. Fly the power lines that are close to my house. But... I was just talking to somebody this week about, I don't know how to create the margin that I know I need in our day, in our week, and just, I don't know what to cut because none of the things we're doing are things worth cutting. Right. But it's hard to make sure that we're not packing every day so full.
It is.
So
there's a difference between busyness and busyness.
Yes.
Very big difference between a life that's busy
yeah.
and a life that's full. And if you're busy, you know, about things that aren't necessary, and it is hard to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, which is the most important. That's when you just need to say, bring it to Jesus and just say, okay, yeah. this is your day.
Yeah.
You know, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Show me what you have for me. Fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
After that, speaking of, that makes me think of, I know what you're reading because, you showed me kind of
yeah.
like, you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. It's really inspirational.
Oh, well, thanks. I'm excited about it. I, this year, one of my goals when I sat down and wrote out, I don't remember what we called it. Cause you and I talked about it. We didn't really talk about it on the podcast, but it was like making goals in all these different areas of your life, like the mm-hmm. wheel to have this balanced yeah, wheel the, mm-hmm. of
it was a January
spiritual.
Goal. Oh, we need to get on February. I forgot about that.
February's growing things.
It is growing things. That's
yeah.
right. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're good. Maybe it's March. We're coming back to that, the balance
yeah.
wheel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it March? Okay.
Yeah. So we were talking about writing out goals for like your physical health, your mm-hmm. spiritual health. Mental can be in there too, whether mm-hmm. it's like your household, things for your kids, your homeschool, right. whatever categories you want to break your life up into. And one of the things I wrote down as a spiritual goal was to grow my prayer life because it's easy when you have a lot of young kids and it's a busy day to go through your day and realize I haven't even talked to the Lord all day.
Right.
And like, man, when I was really stressed out, I could have, and I should have stopped. But even more than that, instead of getting to the point of stressed out, starting my day off in prayer, in fellowship with my God and the one who provides me the energy and the strength to get through the day, and to be intentional about that. And so, I have this big wall in my bedroom that I have never put decorations on. And I decided because I'm a visual person, I was going to make a prayer wall and, it kind of forces me to be accountable because as soon as I roll over in the morning, I have to look at it and I can't get out of bed without at least thinking about the fact that I need to be praying for so-and-so or mm-hmm. for a specific thing we're involved in or for our pastor, our church, our homeschool. And I have lots of charts and index cards and pictures.
Well, it helps remind you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's places I can write specific requests. And one of the things I have been reading about really for a few years, but trying to lean into more this year is praying scripture, literally speaking God's word back to him, and being careful to not try to use it out of context, but also just knowing that God's word is never going to return void. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've been doing.
I think
doing.
That's awesome.
It's You've pretty been reading exciting. Your wall. Yeah.
You've been reading your yeah. wall. And I have been reading everything about seeds and getting plants, and we're getting a new high tunnel. And so just basic business type stuff going on there. My son went to a vegetable conference last weekend. He brought lots of information back just to help us in our area, which we'll talk about a little bit. It's really important, you guys. There's lots of people that can help you. Lots of people that can help you just tap into that knowledge. And we are kind of in a weird age where we text people and we don't really reach out for the guy. We talked about that before. If you don't really know what you're needing to be growing in your area, call the people. Find the people to help you.
Yeah.
So I've been studying the charts and the zone. We're kind of really in the same zone, even though they changed us. I don't think anything. Well, it says that our last frost date was it February 15th? Don't even go by that.
I did that last year and ended up losing some things.
We're going to have a freeze usually. I would say one out of every 5 years, we have a freeze in March.
We had one last year. So maybe you see that bush out there by like in front of my garden?
Mm-hmm.
That's a wild blueberry bush.
That's blueberry.
It's covered in blossoms. And last year we lost the whole thing because of that late freeze that
you're
had.
You're going to have to cover that.
So I was just telling a friend today, I'm excited to get some plants because I always go and get like, you know, as early as I can because I get excited. But then I can't plant them yet. I have to bring them in and out of the house.
Isn't that crazy?
But I don't want to not be able to get them because they've been sold out. So, but I think I'm going to wait until like Good Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the old timers around here saying Good Friday is a safe time.
I'm going to try to listen to them this year. I don't know. Let me look that up.
Yeah. So I guess we can move on into our main topic, which is grow something. Talk about grow something. Anything. What are you growing? Like, what did you buy already to go out there?
So two nights ago, the kids and I planted our pantry potatoes.
I saw that.
The ones that
I think
sprouted.
That was the most adorable Instagram.
I don't know how well they're going to grow, but we're going to try it and we're going to see. I'll probably buy some more seed potato and get them in here soon.
Yeah, I called the other day. I told you I would get you some. They should be here next week.
You called up to the mm-hmm. farm and garden
truckers.
Mm-hmm. Truckers.
Yeah,
okay.
Called truckers.
Yeah, I let's see. Okay, Easter's at the end of March.
At the end of March.
Oh, so am I going to be able to wait that long?
So the March groundhog 31st. Saw his shadow or something.
Right? I didn't ever
Is that
see.
How this works? I don't remember. I don't even know what happened last last week when the
we really did kind of just drop off
it
the
was,
face of the earth
we
for
really
a week.
Did. It's just one of those. You know what happens? Sometimes it happens, and you just have to let it go. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's late frost. So we'll just kind of have to eye it and be prepared.
Yeah. I think I could for sure get a couple of trellises of snow peas going.
Absolutely. I think you'll be fine with
those. But I'm not going to risk planting anything that's not frost hardy.
Yeah. As long as it's not a hard freeze, your peas will be fine once they're out of the ground.
Yeah.
I would suggest soaking them in water first.
Okay.
Get them a head start for about 24 hours, then pop them in the ground.
Yeah.
They should be fine.
We always love to eat those.
The tendrils are good in salads.
Yeah, we ate some of the leaves and tendrils last year, but we like to just go out to the garden and eat them in the evenings in the spring.
I eat them in the morning, yeah. I love them. They're like a breakfast for me. It's like a reward. I get out there while I'm walking around. I can eat.
Yes.
I can eat. So what are you growing now? Do you have
I've got collards like out collards. There that the chickens have tore
there's
into.
There's like some lettuce, so maybe some red
there's
lettuce
There's some lettuces. There's a little bit of celery. I have...
What's back there?
That's garlic.
Garlic. It looks really good.
Yeah, I planted that in September, and it's going pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of weeds out there.
That's okay.
But these front beds where we put the potatoes, we're going through and, like, hula hoeing and pulling all the weeds out, shaking the dirt out, putting the weeds in the compost so we can grow more. You know, you're making your own dirt.
You're making your own dirt.
We grow compost bins, too.
Right.
So we're slowly working on getting the rows set up. And putting leaves in between them as our walking path.
I think that'll be nice.
And then they, you know, they turn into dirt by next year. Mm-hmm. And then I can just add more leaves.
You can just add more leaves. You can just add more leaves.
Yeah.
So what are you most excited to grow this year?
Pumpkins.
Pumpkins, me too.
I experimented with those Seminole pumpkins last year, and I want to grow even more, but I want to grow other varieties of winter squash too.
Yeah, so I'm going to grow some pie pumpkins.
Yeah.
We've done Seminole before. They're really good. They're just small.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about doing, I'm flipping into a catalog
like
right now.
Sugar baby pie pumpkins?
Like sugar baby pie pumpkins. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've been recommended that there are some that can grow here. It's surprisingly here because we need to hurry up. Like it's time to get everything grown. I'm trying to find the pumpkins. Maybe I didn't circle it on this book, but there are a few that actually will grow here. I'll have to find out and get.
Yeah, I did the Seminole because that one is supposed to be like native to our area.
I think it is.
And yeah. I kind of really what I want to do, and I'm not exactly sure where we're going to do it yet, but I want to do, you've heard of Three Sisters growing. There's a fourth sister, which is either sunflower or echinacea. You could do either one. And I really want to do a four sisters bed.
I think that'd be awesome.
Because I think the kids would really enjoy it. And I would grow like Seminole because that's for our area. There's another, is it Kushaw? Is that how you say that?
Kushaw squash,
winter squash.
Yeah.
That's another one that would have been like a native winter squash that would have been grown with that.
And the reason you need to start getting ready now is because they take 100 days at least to grow. So
yeah,
you have to get ready for that. The pumpkins take a really long time. The problem with pumpkins here is that the powdery mildew, you know, the funguses we get from the rain. And
so
the
that
humidity.
Gets them with the humidity in the summer.
It nails them. Right. It nails them.
I did not. So the Seminole pumpkins did pretty good as long as they were covered by their own leaves.
Huh.
But I like, and the cool thing was I just let it go because I wanted to see what would happen.
Right.
This year, I'll plant them on the back of my garden and then pull the vines out. So they'll travel. Yeah. So they don't travel into the other rows because there were like six rows I could not access because there's so much. But the vines will actually plant more roots along as it goes. Mm-hmm. So if a vine borer gets to the original vine, it still can keep growing.
And those are so light, you could trellis those easily.
Yeah.
She could probably put those along that fence line.
Oh, yeah.
And just let them go.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I would suggest maybe the bag of mulch or the bag of compost.
And just compost that be the start point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just let them go. I think that would be really good.
You don't think it would be a pain to clean off the fence?
I wouldn't clean off the fence.
Well, it's not our fence. So
oh, yeah.
That's the neighbor's
maybe.
Fence.
Well, yeah, you'd have to trim it off, you know, and pull it when the
what
vines
about
are done.
The horses come to that.
The horses will eat that.
Yeah.
So maybe not there
maybe
if that's
not
your fence.
No.
But, you know, around the compost bins or somewhere, I would totally trellis those, especially because they're so light.
Oh, yeah.
Trellis like baby
canola. I want to do loofah squash this year.
I trellis those. Yeah, a lot of people have been doing
that.
I think that
would be so fun. That's
it.
What I want to do. Mm-hmm.
I
really want to try it as like a kitchen sponge.
Oh,
I keep seeing the people using those and just like this it's literally regenerative sponges. Like you can just keep growing them.
I would love to try that.
I know.
Loofah I thought was really hard.
Well, you let it dry out completely.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fiber that's left
it's
on
like
the inside.
Smushy.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I know.
Let's try that.
it would be fun.
Yeah. So what we're growing, I think we talked about it last week, is all of the greens, all of the roots. That's typically what grows in the cool weather.
Yeah.
The only thing, so if you just get it in your mind that fruits grow when the sun is shining and it's not freezing, because the fruit is what freezes. So if it has a fruit on it or a flower that makes a fruit, you cannot grow it until, you know, you can start getting it ready, but it can't go outside until after the frost.
Okay.
Because the frost will kill it.
Right.
So if you're doing tomatoes, cucumbers, squash, all the things, you can give them the correct, environment to grow, but you cannot put them outside until you know they're going to be able to survive.
Yeah.
So if they're tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, squash, all the things, but if it's a green leafy vegetable, they actually like the cool weather.
It's like, okay, so if it has fruit, it'll freeze.
If it'll leaf, leave it be. It loves the cool weather. That's right. Yeah. So I'm excited to grow pumpkins, I think, this year.
Yeah.
And just the different varieties of tomatoes. We have just every year there's something different. And this year we're able to put more flowers.
Yeah.
On the farm.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the flowers. I just love the variety of them. I love the, it just makes everything look nice.
Yeah.
To go outside.
Do you know what I have popping up? They haven't bloomed yet, but
what?
That are coming up. You remember what I planted 500 of last year?
Was it daffodils?
Daffodils.
Are they coming up?
They're coming up. And they're like all on the drive.
They will naturalize here.
Yes.
The daffodils will.
And they, I honestly had kind of forgot about them in the chaos of the fall. And like when I saw the first couple coming up, I was like, oh yeah.
Most of
that's
the narcissi,
why I planted these, because they would make me so happy.
Right. Most of the narcissi will do very well here.
They, I mean,
tulips, no, but narcissi will.
Yeah.
And they don't need so much. There are a lot of varieties that don't need so much chill hours.
It looks like they're doing good, and it looks like a lot of them came back. Good.
And squirrels will eat them, though.
Yes. But, oh, I've seen the squirrels.
Mm-hmm, they love them.
And the deer over there.
The deer, really?
At night, yeah. But they're doing good, like, numbers wise. I was thinking about, you know, the zinnia wall that we
saw. Zinnia wall, yeah.
I was thinking, could I plant them on top of where the daffodils are?
Do it.
So then the zinnias bloom all summer and fall, and then the daffodils come back.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And then the zinnias should kind of self seed for next year.
They 100% will self seed.
So I just need to get a lot of zinnia seeds this year, and then maybe I won't have to buy them over and over and over again.
That's a good idea.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
So
did we already talk about you're growing anything new this year?
We haven't yet.
We haven't yet. Okay.
I think the new, I don't know if I would really consider it new. I'm sure there will be new things, but I want to grow a wider variety of peppers. Mm. I tried peppers last year. Because I was determined, peppers and tomatoes, I was going to rock last year. And I did a really good job with peppers. The tomatoes I did do good with, but I needed more plants.
Right.
Like exponentially more for what I want.
Right.
Growing wise. But I want to grow bell peppers. I did hot peppers last
year.
Like
a California Wonder.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I would like to get the different colors because we really like red bell peppers, which I know just mean you have to leave them on the plant longer.
Right.
Green peppers are just prematurely picked. I said that strange. They're just, you just pick them early. And maybe some pimento peppers. Just like a wider variety of peppers, I think.
I think that would be really good. I'm trying to think. I mean, there's a lot new that I'm growing. I just don't even remember. Just different varieties that we're growing. We have some interest in restaurants.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to do a little bit of watermelon radish or doing some Salanova lettuce, which is quite an expensive seed, but the heads are beautiful.
Salanova lettuce?
Salanova
look like?
Is a hybrid lettuce that grows really well in the heat.
Okay.
It's pelleted generally because they're so expensive, but they're the pretty lettuce you would see in the hydroponics in the grocery store. However, we are growing
like
ours
butter
in
crunch?
Soil, like a butter crunch. They
okay.
have a red, a frise.
Okay.
And we're also growing endive. This year and escarole, and we haven't grown.
So are
that
those summer or are they spring?
They are spring.
So they could be fall too.
They could be fall.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but they're the bitter. You know, the bitter is very good for your gut.
Yes.
So a lot of people are requesting those, and so we're just going to try everything. I mean, we really are just going to try to add to what we can do and see how that works.
Yeah. So I have some of those seeds. I think I keep. Y'all, I've just been so packed with everything, and I know where my seeds are, and every time I open the door to the closet where they are, it's like they're saying, why haven't you looked at us? And I feel so bad.
And it's just
going
to get busier and busier,
I know.
Busier because you're a mama.
I know. It's well, sad. And the nice thing is the kids are a little bit more excited about growing this year than they were last year, so I think if I give them a little bit, give them like a row each that they get to plant what they want to plant, then they'll be a little bit more excited about helping me.
That's great.
But
so we had talked about, I think we talked last time, but we're going to talk more today about the top five crops that you would suggest to grow for a beginner.
Yeah. What would you suggest? Because you have a lot more experience than I do.
I would suggest always radishes. Radishes will grow for anyone. Radishes will always grow. So any kind of radish will make you successful, make you feel successful.
Yeah.
Lettuces, always. Onions, always. And then let me see what the last two would be.
What about an herb?
An herb, basil.
Basil.
Basil, yeah, would be really good, and it's pretty hard to kill. And any kind of chard, like a Swiss chard or a anything like that.
Swiss chard is not frost hardy, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
Mine
is.
Well, I guess mine died more
I have
in
a Ford
freeze.
Hook White, and I have a Bright Lights.
Okay.
And they haven't frozen yet.
Okay.
But we always row cover them when the freeze does come.
Right.
But they're looking pretty good right now.
Yeah.
But I would suggest any kind of chard. Just be careful. But they grow well. They are like they're a monocot.
Why be careful?
No, they're a dicot. No, not. Okay. I'm saying it wrong. Those are leaves.
Yeah.
So this is a multi-germ. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
So it's a multi-germ seed, which means there are lots of seeds within the seed.
Okay.
So when you plant that, one of them is going to sprout.
Okay.
It's like a beet. A beet is the same way. So if you plant those, you're going to get something out of it. Just keep watering them. You can hardly kill them, I think. So I would suggest those top six, I guess it would be crops and flowers. Zinnias. Zinnias grow pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're fairly easy to grow.
They're so pretty.
Very hard to kill. And marigolds.
Yeah.
So I would grow those crops for a beginner. And if I think of anything when we keep talking, I'll throw those out there. But I know we had some questions today.
We did.
Do you want to go over the questions?
Yeah.
We're going to make this up. We decided when we're sitting here, Shani has to be somewhere. I'm going to be at a farmer convention next week. So we're going to try to get two podcasts in today. So we're going to make this one, since it's such a long podcast, we're going to make it into two.
Yeah.
So we'll do the questions, and then we'll get on to some specific varieties
yes.
in the next one.
Yeah.
So what's our first question?
So we have, let's talk about apartment gardening.
Okay. Apartment gardening. You lived in you didn't live in an apartment, but you lived in a smaller
We did.
Area.
We lived in a house we were on 0.11 acre. So very little yard. I know there are definitely places that have less than that, but we did two raised beds out of 8 foot by, I think they're like 8 foot by 3 foot or 8 foot by 2 foot, something like that. Boards, and we filled them with garden soil, and I grew the best zucchini of my life in those raised beds.
Awesome. You know, I have had a lot of people ask me about this over the years, and you can grow in a box.
Oh, yeah.
If you order from Amazon, you can grow in the box.
Yeah.
But here's the key that it took me a long time. I don't know why I didn't think of it, but you don't fill the whole box with dirt.
Yeah.
You fill the box halfway with straw, or you fill the box halfway with popcorn peanuts that are biodegradable,
uh-huh.
or paper.
Here comes
or
that stinking
something.
Helicopter
I know,
again.
It's so funny. He was just here.
I know.
You fill it with something, and then you fill it with the dirt.
Yes.
And then you grow in there. You can also grow.
You really don't need a lot of soil at all to grow in.
No. You can research what you're growing. Let's just say you can research lettuce and see how deep their seeds are. So we use an irrigation system, and we've been studying a lot about how long to run that irrigation system.
Yeah.
And you would be surprised that it doesn't need to run very long because the seeds are so close to the feeder roots are so close to the surface.
Yes.
So you really don't need that much soil in those boxes. You can get feed troughs at Tractor Supply, like that one over there. Look at that water trough. If you want it pretty, you can build it. You can we've used pickets before with these straps. And I was just at Lowe's and I saw the name of the strap and I was going to tell you, but I forgot. But they're just like the little, it's like a C strap with metal on each side. They're 25 cents and you screw them into pickets and then you put rebar to hold them up. And that just gives you a little bit of elevation.
Yeah.
Or plant in a bucket.
I like those grow bags.
Yeah, the grow bags. I've had them before.
I was thinking about, we planted potatoes out in the garden, but I was thinking about doing I would want to do our sweet potatoes in grow bags.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even trying to do some zucchini squash plants and maybe even the pumpkins in the grow bags.
I would love to see how that works.
I mean, you can get pretty big ones and then you can reuse them.
You can. Go to the thrift store, get 9x13 pie pans, you drill holes in them, the metal ones.
Yeah.
You can grow in just about anything that you want to. Make it appealing for your eye and just try it. It just needs light. So let's just say I grew up having a balcony with you only had a certain amount of light a day. Mm-hmm. So that does make a difference. Yes. You do have to figure out where to place it so it gets an adequate amount of sun. You may even need to purchase grow lights, which actually on Amazon are not that expensive nowadays. You can make it however you want. You do have the light necessary requirements that you need for each thing, but you can grow a pretty substantial garden on a patio. I think you really could.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you have any more questions about that's like apartment gardening.
Yeah. The other thing I would say about apartment gardening is if you say you don't even have a balcony,
right,
or you don't have the outdoor access,
mm-hmm.
A tower garden. Tower garden.
Yes, those are real popular right
now. There's tons of options out there. You can get really fancy ones. You can get very basic ones. You can mm-hmm. even make them.
You can.
Go on YouTube and mm-hmm. look it up. They're yeah. very simple. But you can get ones that will look nice inside mm-hmm. too. We really loved growing on that. And I really wish we had another one, but mm-hmm. we just have enough space in the ground to grow.
Right.
But we grew some really good kale and lettuce in those herbs. And they're fast.
Yeah, they are fast.
I think that will be maybe a science project mm-hmm. 1 year.
And there's some really, if you want to Google Kratky, Kratky, I believe mm-hmm. is correct. The Kratky method for hydroponics, you can grow probably 6 nice heads of lettuce in a Rubbermaid with water in it. You yes. are using nutrition that you have to purchase, like a fish emulsion to put in the water, and there are BPA concerns for some people with the plastics, but it is possible. Google that, and you don't even need a pump.
Yeah.
You don't even need a pump for
I
that.
Think, doesn't M.I. Gardner grow stuff like that in his basement?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he does, yeah.
I've seen a few things like that I think are cool. There's lots yeah. of resources out there.
Sure.
I mean, if where there's a will, there's a way. If you want to grow something, you're going to find a way to do it.
Absolutely.
And you don't always have to have dirt to grow, I guess is what we're saying. You don't always have to have dirt to grow.
Okay. So, yeah. and thank you for these questions that you've given us.
Yeah.
Oh, so we'll move on to natural pest deterrents.
Yes.
Natural pest deterrents. So there are trap crops. We
yes.
talked about companion planting and trap crops.
Yes.
And a trap crop is something that, like a sunflower that, let's just say stink bugs love the sunflowers plant. Then they also love tomatoes. So plant sunflowers outside of your tomatoes so you will minimize the damage to the tomatoes because most of the stink bugs will stay on the sunflower.
So what do you mean by outside of? Like away from or plant them together? Like how?
We plant ours. It depends.
I kind of thought about like what if I could use the sunflower stalk to support the tomato?
I think you could probably do that, but you might also draw them to that way.
Okay.
We use them as a wall.
Okay.
We plant them on the ends of the rows.
Okay.
Or a whole different row themselves, so they'll go there instead of.
Okay.
So I don't know if I would plant. It might work that way, but if you're drawing them to them, it's like yeah. you're giving them two host plants.
Yeah.
So if you would, let's just say if you're going to grow, there's several other trap crops that you can grow. And there's also like a deterrent crops like pyrethrin, which is marigold.
Yes.
If you would grow like a marigold type plant, there's another one too. My mind's just totally gone blank. But
is nasturtium a trap? Or is that just more like...
I've not used it as one.
I
use it as eating.
Yes.
Yeah, it brings pollinators.
I have not been able to successfully grow nasturtium here. And I'm just going to keep trying.
Keep trying.
Because I love them. And they taste really good.
It tastes really good. So they're like peppery. A pea. You need to scarify the seed coating.
What does that mean?
I take a fingernail file or something and yeah. kind of scratch it off.
Okay.
Soak it in water for 24 hours and then plant it and they'll germinate in 24 hours.
You scratch it before you soak it.
You scratch it before you soak it. You just want that water to be able to get into.
And there. You soak it overnight like you would soak beans? So
beans or peas or something
and
like that.
And then you drain them and then...
And then you plant them.
Okay.
And they'll be growing tomorrow if you have some.
Wow.
We can do that before I leave if you want.
Yeah.
Anything that has those kinds of, they repel bugs or they don't like them, you can Google whatever you're planting, but basil does that as well. Onions, garlic, anything like that, they kind of help when the predators come.
Yeah.
The predators will hang on to that trap crop. But now if you have a companion planting, there are companions to where... let's just say you're planting peas. Well, peas fix nitrogen in the soil. So if you plant a companion that loves nitrogen,
like then a leafy green?
Yeah, leafy green loves nitrogen. They generally, like a romaine, will grow bigger.
Okay.
They will love the nitrogen fixed in the soil.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they make friends. So what one is giving off, it's helping the other one.
Right.
Yeah.
What's another example of that then?
What, companion planting or natural pest?
Companion planting.
Companion planting, basil and tomatoes.
Okay.
And
what does basil do for tomatoes?
I don't really remember the exact details.
They taste great together.
They taste great together. They taste like a pizza.
Yeah.
But I think the basil keeps the stink bugs away. There's several. There's those.
It's very aromatic, so I can believe that.
The orange bugs. Are they called assassin bugs? I think they're called assassin bugs.
They dive bomb me in my garden.
They totally get on the tomatoes and they love them.
Yeah.
So I think that the basil deters them, and there's so many pretty types of basil. I use it as a cut filler, and they have lemon and lime and cinnamon and regular Genovese. There's several different kinds of basil, and I just put them all in with the tomatoes that they love it.
Yeah.
And tomatoes and peppers love each other.
Yeah.
They really do.
The
capsaicin maybe, I don't know, keeps bugs away.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what about like peppermint and spearmint? Do they keep anything away?
Don't know for sure if they do.
I'm just wondering because they're so aromatic.
But mentha plants generally, I know that where we have the mint beds, we have no ants.
Oh, that's good to know.
And I know that when you have ants in your house, you're supposed to make, you know, essential oil spray or whatever,
yes,
and put the peppermint,
and
it deters them. How it deters them, I don't know, other than they may not like the scent or something like that.
Snakes don't like peppermint either.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I have a couple of... So, if you don't know this about mint, anything in the mint family, it will spread, and it will spread and spread.
It's invasive.
Spread. It is. But if you want it to be planted, like if you want lots of mint everywhere, plant it because it will grow. So I have a peppermint and a spearmint in my garden. I put them there on purpose because I enjoy when I'm in the garden rubbing up against it and, you know, you get the oils released and it smells good. But I would love to have a border of mint around my garden.
That would be really nice.
Yeah.
I think that would be really nice. That's where you can put your pickets and your... rebar.
So we are going to do pickets, but we decided we have to wait to the end of the year. So we're going to get like the chicken fence I have over there. We're going to get one of those, the net, and put it around the garden until we can afford the picket fence.
That'd be a good idea.
Because we just need some kind of barrier. Like if they'll fly over that one. We're not going to charge this one, but it's still like another fence. They have to put in a little effort to fly over it. So
double protection there. Double protection.
I think that hen is trying to lay an egg in that burn pile over there.
And another,
she's hiding.
The natural pest deterrent. I know if you encourage pollinators and you encourage the good bugs, they will deter the other pest as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to encourage the good bugs to come. So milkweed, a different kind of plants you can plant for the predatory plant, the predatory bugs, ladybugs, find out what they like. Make sure you have enough food, host food for those plants, because ladybugs eat aphids.
Yes.
And if you have a lot of ladybugs, they're going to eat all the aphids. And so you just want a good balance. You're not going to be able to have a best balance where there's no predators.
Right.
Because if you have, there's no predatory bugs, because if you have... a whole bunch of good bugs and no bad bugs, well, the good bugs will die. They have to have something to
eat.
Right,
they have to have food.
So you're just looking for a balance, and you know when you plant, you're going to need to plant a little bit extra.
Yeah.
You're going to need to plant a little bit extra for every single person.
That's not a question.
Every single bug, not person.
Okay. Right. That's not a question we have written down, but let's talk about that again, because we kind of talked about that a little bit.
Sure.
We alluded to it last time, on the apartment gardening, if you want tomatoes, you can't just plant one tomato plant. Because you're not going to get a ton of tomatoes off of just one plant.
Probably not. Depending on what you plant, you're going to get, to 2 or 3 pounds per plant.
Yeah.
So if you want a lot of tomatoes, I would suggest a Super 100, a sweet cherry.
That's my favorite.
Is it?
It's so good.
Yeah, something like that. Or a if you want a slicer, you know, there's a lot of good slicers out there, but you're not going to get a lot of them. I would suggest Roma's. They're pretty prolific.
Yeah.
But the Super 100s are good. They'll keep producing all year.
I think we should do an episode about, like, myth-busting some garden things. Cause
okay, yeah, let's do it.
I think when I started my very first garden, it was, like, it was modeled after one of those square-foot gardens, and I did, like, one tomato plant in a square foot and one head of lettuce and one pepper plant. And it was like...
And it looked pretty, but you couldn't eat it.
Yeah, you can't eat it. There's not enough food. And so, you know, if you want to really supply a food source for your family from your garden, you've got to increase your quantity.
Yeah, and you can, nowadays with Google, you can figure out each plant when you're purchasing seeds, how many typically... pounds of whatever you're going to get out of that plant. If it has the ultimate, whatever you need to give it, the optimal.
And then you decide if you're going to feed it or you're just going to let it. I think I want to find a balance of maybe fertilizing naturally my garden this year to give it extra boosts here and there.
That's a great idea.
And I really need to water more. Yeah. We do not have drip irrigation. It's an investment I want to make, but I'm not able to yet. And so I need to get on a regular watering schedule.
Oscillating sprinkler.
I have one of those. Is that just the one that goes...
This one.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you need a couple of those.
I think I have one. I need to get... I mean, I can only run one at a time anyway, but I just need to get on a routine of like... I think I want to water... Okay, knowing our summers, do we want to water first thing in the morning?
Yep.
Or in the evening?
No.
Or both?
Morning.
Okay.
So the evening will promote fungus. You don't want to do that.
So should I water the entire garden every morning, or can I go every other so that I can space it out, or do I just need to run more hoses?
I would break it up into sections, and I would do a section a day. And remember what I told you, the feeder roots are really close to the ground.
Right.
So if you're consistent, what we want to do is we want to spoon feed the plants. Just give them enough. You want them deep. You want it deep enough that their roots aren't on the ground trying to get the water.
Right.
But you want it deep enough. So I would measure, get a soil tester for sure. And I want you to see how much water is being put in the ground.
Yeah.
And try to get, if your lettuce leaf, you got lettuce there. You know, you want it 3 to 4 inches to soak down. And, you know, it depends on your soil. Everybody's soil is different. If it's sandy, it's going to run through really quickly.
Right.
And if it's loamy, you know, it might not. So I would definitely look at that. They're not expensive. I think $10 or less on Amazon. Run your sprinkler. Put your soil tester on there. And when it hits that, you know, you've got 4 inches in the ground, that's how you know how long it's going to take.
So I could go, like, say I divided my garden into 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Will that first section be okay for those other 2 days of not watering?
Yep, should.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, yep.
That's what I need to be more intentional about planning this year, because then, you know, we can ride it out. We know on this day, this section has to be watered.
Sometimes they need to dry out. Sometimes they need to just kind of dry out, because if you keep them humid and wet, their roots will rot.
Well, like potatoes, you only want to water once every couple of weeks is what I learned this year.
Yeah, you want the roots to grow.
Yeah.
Well, if the roots are sitting in water, they're not going to do anything.
Right, because they don't need to grow.
They don't. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and all you're doing is putting on top growth, which is the leaves.
Well, just looks pretty.
It just looks pretty, but you can't eat the leaves.
Right.
I mean, you can, but they're... I think they're actually...
I think they're bad
for you.
They're supposed
to eat potato leaves, right?
They're toxic, yeah.
Yeah, they're not like sweet potato leaves. Sweet potato leaves are amazing greens for salad in the summer.
I'm excited about sweet potatoes. Are you going to buy some sweet potatoes?
I am.
Starts?
I will get you some.
Can you add some for me?
I will add you on there. I will add you on there.
This is what you guys need here, is a friend who is,
right, exactly.
who is growing a CSA box, and you can just say, hey, I just want to get a few. Can you tag me on a few onto your order?
Okay, so I think we probably finished that podcast there. You think we're getting close?
Yeah,
to that.
We'll wrap that up.
Wrap that up and move on.
And then
on.
We'll move on to part two.
Part two. We hope you have a really good day. We're really thankful that you listened to us today.
Yeah.
If you want to have more of us that is a little more detailed, we're on Patreon.
Yep.
Go check us out. We do have free subscriptions, and then we have the paid subscription.
Yep.
And then we're on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's where we are.
I'm learning, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm learning.
And you can go find us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
That's right.
Leave us a review, a rating. Let us know what you think. We would love to hear from you guys. And
yeah. Yeah. We're so thankful.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thanks. Y'all have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.